Welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving. This podcast is supported by a grant from the Arthur N. Roop Foundation. Of course, the purpose of Let's Talk Caregiving is to stimulate discussion, bring awareness out in the community, and connect families and to our services here at Southern Caregiver Resource Center. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, Executive Director of SCRC, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Marta Rañón, Director of Government and Community Affairs. Welcome.
Hi, Roberto.
Hi. Today, I'm excited. We're here to, of course, talk about family caregiving, but the topic is a little different, and the topic is about whether or not to allow kids to help with caregiving. You know, this is a topic of interest not only to myself, but to our community, as we're seeing more and more family members who fall within that sandwich generation of caregiving. I know, Martha, you were a sandwich generation caregiver where you were caring, you had little kids and you were the caregiver and working outside the home and then caring for your great aunt for a few years. And we find more and more family members that are in this situation. And, you know, as the primary caregiver coming home, you know, you're looking for all the help you can get, and sometimes it's all hands on deck.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you have children in the home, sometimes, you know, you involve them in the caregiving role.
You need their help.
Well, and it's more common than you think. There was a report in 2005 by the National Alliance on Caregiving where they found that there were about 1.4 million youth caregivers between the ages of 8 and 18 in the United States.
Wow, that's a lot.
That is a lot, and it's more than I think people actually realize. So let's talk about that. How do you involve children? What are the risks? What are the benefits of having children help out in caregiving?
Sure. Well, I think this is an excellent topic, and I'm so glad that we're talking about this because I do hear from a lot of caregivers who often ask, how do I involve others? But that others also might include their children, whether it's adult children or younger children in the home. And what I like to do is I like to really think about how can this be of a positive experience for everyone involved. I think, you know, looking at myself and with my children, I think this is something that brings people closer. Maybe it allows them to build their character and also an opportunity to honor those older generations that you are living with. So maybe honoring grandparents and really get to know and learn from them. In looking at my experience and with my own children, I feel that empathy is something that is so necessary for us to teach our children.
Right.
It's that ability to kind of step into the shoes of the person that you are caring for and also do it in a way that's kind and provides opportunities for generosity and giving of oneself. I know that also has to do with respect, and that's how you learn respect, by involving your children in those opportunities. It's also a way to teach compassion and nurture.
Right.
I think sometimes by default, we as women, as mothers, you know, we're the nurturing ones and we're the ones that are teaching our children compassion and be nice to that child or don't do this. And but here's a prime opportunity to do that at home with the people that you are caring for.
I think that's really important because we're always telling, we're always working with family caregivers. And one of the main things that we teach is don't do this alone. Involve others. Give them specific tasks.
Yes.
But when we say that, we're generally thinking about an older sibling.
Yes, an adult.
An adult. Yeah. An adult. But in this case, these are children. And
yeah.
And I do agree. I mean, when you're involved in grandma or grandfather's in the home and they have Alzheimer's or related dementia, you know, you're going to be exposed to all of this. You're going to have that experience. So, and families, you know, like I said, all hands on deck. Everybody kind of chips in and helps out a little bit. But there could be some things that could really go wrong with this. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. If I can go back, what you were saying, what came to mind was the movie Coco.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah. So you've seen it. And right. there is this part where the main character is who's a child, mm-hmm. and he's interacting with his grandmother. And there are a lot of instances where he's playing with her and reading and just interacting with her.
Right.
And even though it sounds, or by the looks of the movie, it looks like she might have some sort of memory loss, and it's difficult for her to express herself, he's still involved. And I thought that was a really neat example, and I'm so glad that that was included, because my children have seen that. And so it's also teaching them to interact instead of ignore the person because they can't.
Or be fearful.
Yeah, or be fearful, exactly.
Right, because the older adult or grandma or grandpa says weird things sometimes that they might see as weird or
strange. Or out of context.
Or out of content. Mm-hmm. Or not know who they are, so they might be afraid. But again, there could be risks for including your children in care and in the role of a caregiver. And some of it, I mean, I guess depending on the role that they have, you can actually create a lot of anxiety among the children in the home if they have roles that are very demanding. For example, having to be responsible for feeding somebody or helping with bathing or personal hygiene, those kinds of roles on children might be too much for them to handle. So it's all about, you know, age appropriateness and so forth.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the example of age appropriateness. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking about my own experience with even my friends and seeing their children. And there's something to be said about that is great that the child is involved, but perhaps a child shouldn't be involved with feeding grandma.
Right.
Because how would grandma feel that a child is feeding her? Or how would the child feel that he has to have this major responsibility when he wants to be playing outside with his friends and thus would breed some resentment because that is not his main responsibility or perhaps shouldn't be.
Right. And there are other things that the that can help in the home as well. As we talk about giving age-appropriate tasks, help could also be in the form of helping with household chores, picking up after themselves so mom and dad don't have to, and that way they have more time to care for grandma and grandpa.
And they also feel involved. They
right.
also feel that they are part of this process, and it could teach them something for when they are adults and perhaps in that same situation.
Yes. And Martha, I know that they're... You know, when problems do arise, and they can arise on a frequently when you're involving your children, as a parent, you have to be very vigilant. You have to really kind of look for signs that there might be some problems. For example, is your child socially withdrawing?
Yes.
Does he or she not come out of their room anymore? They don't want to be around the situation.
And children should be children.
Yeah.
That's their time to be children. And
right.
so keeping that in mind is important as a parent.
Right. And you were mentioning something I think that's really important in the older adult, some of the challenges that the how would the grandma feel
mm-hmm.
or grandpa feel if, you know, an 8-year-old is feeding them? They might feel like they're a burden, or they might feel like, I'm worthless because here I am having to be fed by this child.
And, you know, I think especially with someone who has dementia, I remember in my own instance when I was caring for my great aunt and she had memory loss, she related my name mm-hmm. to her niece, her little niece that mm-hmm. grew up with, you know, next to her, living next to her. And so if I said, oh, I'm going to bathe you, and she saw me as her niece, then that created problems because in her mind, her niece was this little girl.
Right.
So I even had to get creative and approach it differently so that she wouldn't relate that because she felt uncomfortable and embarrassed. So that's definitely something to be aware of.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, this topic is a little complicated in the sense that, you know, kids are all very different age groups, and you don't really know how involved they really want to be. And like you said, you got to let children be children. But as a household, as a family, you kind of want, or you sometimes expect your kids to help a little bit. So what are some of the things that, as a parent, you should think about if you are going to start to, if your children start to get to the age where they can help out a little bit and you want them to be close to their grandparents and there's still that opportunity to engage and be socially active and nurturing and warm? What are some of the things that parents should do?
I think definitely from the very beginning, start that conversation. Talk to your children or your grandchildren about, hey, this is what's happening. Grandma or grandpa might be needing additional assistance. It's difficult for them to walk. That's why they use a cane. It's a tool for them to help them walk. So having that understanding, it's almost what we tell caregivers in our class, learn more about the disease, learn more about what's happening. Same thing with children at their level. How come grandpa can't run anymore? Well, this is why, and this is how we're going to help him.
Right.
So they understand where what's happening. And then how to get the children involved by asking them, well, what can you do for grandpa?
Right.
You know, it looks like he might need assistance with serving himself a glass of milk. Can you do that? Yes. And then it gives them a sense of ownership, and it gives them a sense of validity, and that opportunity to see, how can I be helpful? How can I do something nice? And so it also breeds compassion and understanding. And I'm looking at my experience with my own children and their grandfather, who is elderly and needs assistance. And they always tell me, you know, we can do this for him and we can do that for him. And they're small, you know, they're not that much older than 6 and 8, but they have that understanding that grandpa needs additional help.
And I think it's also important for families, parents who are in that caregiver role, to seek out assistance from organizations like Southern Caregiver Resource Center, where they can meet with a family consultant, and that family consultant can actually teach them or give them resources or books that are child appropriate.
Yes.
That they can teach their kids about dementia, about Alzheimer's, about other kinds of conditions, so that they know how to tell the story about what might be happening with grandma and grandpa, and kind of, you know, that's all part of the education. I remember a family caregiver who was working with us and with one of our family consultants, and the family caregiver told me that she, from what she learned in the sessions with our family consultant, she was able to then convey that in a age-appropriate way to her son, and he had a better understanding of how to help grandpa mm-hmm. in the home. And because the little boy, her son, who at the time was 10, had a lot of anxiety mm-hmm. over grandpa being in the home. He was also hard of hearing, so they would yell, and the tension and the yelling back and forth, and
startling,
and then grandpa might have some behavioral problems where he would yell out, or he would get anxious, or not remember who he was, and the little boy was, you know, her son was very confused, and the caregiver said that the education that she received here at Southern Caregiver Resource Center was so helpful for her to learn how to teach her son how to understand what's going on with grandpa.
Yes.
And that helped alleviate a lot of that anxiety and stress.
And I think adding to that is that understanding that the child has feelings too, and emotions, and it's important to validate what they are seeing and how they are processing. A lot of times children might internalize because they don't know how to express themselves. So how come grandpa can't run? And my other grandpa is able to run and do things with me. What is happening? And so validating those feelings is also important.
Yeah, and I think it's also one of the really important things, and we've said this several times, is age-appropriate types of roles. I think you've mentioned before, you know, a 5-year-old can't do what a 10-year-old, or shouldn't do what a 10-year-old's doing to help out in the home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have a five, I'm thinking of my granddaughter right now, and who's 5, and, you know, she would be good at combing grandma's hair, you know, grandma's hair, mm-hmm. not asking her or trying to feed her. You know?
Absolutely. Right. And even creating, especially if the children are small, like your granddaughter and right. my daughter's six. And I remember when we would visit my grandmother, so it's her great-grandmother. There wasn't much that my daughter could do, but I found a task that she could do that was easy enough, and it was actually very, very sweet. She took it upon herself to, whenever she would see my great grandmother, she would put lotion on her hands.
Oh, that's nice.
Because she one day saw her hands, said, "Your hands are really dry," and I said, "Well, why don't you put lotion on her hands?"
Yeah.
And so my grandmother allowed her to do that, and so it became kind of like a routine that every time they would see each other, she wanted to put lotion on her hands, and so they would sit there and talk, and she was very sweet about it, and right. so it was a moment that allowed her to feel compassionate towards my grandmother, but also on the receiving end, my grandmother felt very grateful that she was doing that for
yeah.
her.
Yeah, that's fantastic, and then the other, you know, the other side of it is that that's such a, like you were saying, such a warm and beautiful moment for them. But that touch, the stimulation,
yes.
That, you know, it just makes you feel loved.
Yes.
You know, it makes
absolutely.
You feel valued. So somebody with dementia who maybe Alzheimer's might not be able to interact or express themselves very well on a regular basis, you could just look at them, and if this is something they like, you see them smile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they nod, or they pat, you know, the granddaughter on the head, or rub her arm. And so these are really nice experiences that I think, you know, for the child will grow up and always remember.
She still does.
Does she?
She still
yeah.
does. And now she kind of does that to me sometimes. So can I put lotion on your hands? And it's just building, like I said earlier, that empathy, that nurturing quality.
Yeah. And I think one of the things, though, to be careful about is, you know, make sure, and you said this already again, that you're not, you're letting your kids be kids,
mm-hmm.
and that what you're asking them to do is not interfering with their social life as children,
yes.
as well as with their academics at school. They shouldn't be missing school because they have to watch grandma or grandpa.
Yes.
Those are things that you as an adult, as the parent, should figure out. You know, how am I going to provide
that?
It's
not their responsibility.
It is not their responsibility.
Yes.
But you want them engaged. You want them to help, because there's so much upside,
mm-hmm.
not only to you as the primary caregiver in that sandwich generation group,
mm-hmm.
but to the household and to the love and the relationship in the home.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know that there are a lot of family members who are in this situation, and you know, I think one of the most important things for individuals to do is reach out for help and to talk to professionals.
Like us at SCRC.
That is correct. Because, we say this all the time, you don't know what you don't know.
And we have some great resources. You know, the library that we have upstairs, I've seen a lot of books coming in that are really focused on children.
Right.
And it's an opportunity for anyone who's listening who might be interested in checking out some of these books for their children. It works as a library. You check them out, you read them, and then you return it, and somebody else will check them out and read them and share them. And I sometimes look through those and figure out, maybe I need to incorporate some new strategies. What else can I do?
Right. And the bottom line is, and I mean, the beginning question is, should parents allow their kids to get engaged in the caregiving? I think the answer is yes. Be very aware and engaging with your child and educate them from how, you know, what's going on with grandma and grandpa. And then, again, be very age appropriate. Not allowing them to interfere, not allowing their role to interfere with them being children,
mm-hmm.
school, socializing. But it can be a really very wonderful experience for them and make them feel really connected to their grandparents and to feel very useful in the home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. I want to thank Martha for co-hosting and sharing her stories for another stimulating discussion about caregiving. And I want to remind our audience that if you're providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. And remember, SCRC is here for you,
caring for those who care for others.
Thank you.